Well, good morning, everyone. It's glad to be here. As you realize, this is our third week of Advent. And this week we're concentrating on the theme, which is the title of the sermon this morning, Receiving in Faith. I hope you got your Bibles with you because we will be going through them. And our passage for this morning is Genesis 15, verse 6. Genesis 15, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, faith is the first step in Christianity, in the salvation of all who come to Christ. It is the much-needed element required in every believer in the church. For faith is believing in what cannot be seen and being convinced in the knowledge of God's existence. And to believe in faith in God's existence is through the promises he makes with us. But faith is more. Much more than we sometimes care to understand or describe. For faith is also related to a state of maturity, like a child growing up to become a teenager and a teenager to grow into an adult. The same stages that we progress through life, we also relate to the maturity we develop in our faith that is exercised in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is what is needed in our everyday life to live as the child of God. To overcome the obstacles like adversity, suffering, and pain by the protection of the God who is with us. But also to look beyond our current time to the promises, the rewards that is guaranteed to all who trust in him. But this faith that we have just heard of can only be received through the proclaimed gospel of God's word, Jesus Christ. The same Messiah that the patriarchs of old were waiting for in faith, in whom has already arrived, is the same Jesus Christ we faithfully are waiting for his return. And while we await his return, we also look to the promise of a ready prepared home to be with Christ. And so we come to the third week of Advent, the receiving in faith. As we have already heard, the giving in grace, the receiving in mercy, and now we come to the receiving in faith. But before I carry on, let me pray. Heavenly Father, what a big, big item to preach on, faith. For your word is so littered with faith, O Lord, that the trust and the believing in you, O Lord, carries forth into the promises. The Father, we would get a taste of what your promises are that helps us to describe our faith, not as a small faith, but a faith that it grows constantly in you. And so, Father, help us this morning, we pray, that the applications that you have placed upon my heart may be evident through your word. So that, Father, that your hearers may hear your word truly for what it is. And so, Father, not to deceive themselves, but they would be doers of your word, not just hearers. So that they too may believe in the real promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So what I'd like to do this morning, Lord willing, is not give you an exhaustive account of faith, for there would be not room enough to cover in just one sermon, but rather a small recollection of the faith that has been stretched out over time for around the last 3,800 years, just a couple of years here or there, to realize that just as faith was needed then, we also need it today. To freshen our minds to just a few elements that may help us the same way that helped the father of many nations, Abraham, and recognize the one in whom has given us this faith that we receive from God through Jesus Christ. And so come with me. Come with me to our text as we begin. So Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So what do we see? Abram believed the Lord. His faith in the Lord was set, secured and convinced to not be moved, nor shaken from his conviction that what has just happened has become an awakening assent to the trust, the God of all creation, by receiving something that has changed Abram's life. But what is it? What is it that has changed Abram's life to be so convinced? For us to see, we now go back to the opening verse in our chapter. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And so God comes to Abram through his word. His word, which may be through a vision, but overall, his word much the same. The word which was in the beginning and which is also proclaimed today, that those who hear it may also believe God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the initial existence of Abram's faith was delivered to him through God's word. And so God chose Abram to unite himself with his creation. He does this through his word to initially make a connection like a father to a son. For just as we believe in God's word, in which it was delivered to us through the gospel, so does Abram. And so God appears to Abram three ways. God appears to Abram, firstly, to relieve Abram's fear by trusting in God. He says, fear not, Abram. Whether Abram was already in a state of fear out of reverence for the Lord or what may have happened previously, or even to prepare him for what is to come, Abram is directly instructed to not fear. For in this does God free his heart from fear, to understand that by faith God cares for us and that we are to rest in his providence. And secondly, I am your shield. That God is with him as his protector, the one in whom he could find shelter for the remainder of his life. The instruction to not fear comes with the promise from God to be his shield. God ascribes himself to Abram as a shield, the protector of his salvation that is regarded as solid as concrete. That even though the word and its desires may try to thwart him, his faith in his protector of his life is to be valued beyond any man's threats or desires. And thirdly, your reward shall be very great. That Abram would receive a great reward for his fearlessness to trust in his Creator, to absolve any threats that may exist. The reward of God alone is to be desired more than that we just heard, that we were just singing just previously, more than gold and silver, more than any part of his previous life he led, to render himself to the God in whom comes and offers himself in abundance, to remove all fear, to preserve us by the offer of himself for our salvation, and to give us the inheritance as a great reward. What else does one desire? That the inheritance of this initial promise that curbs the old man would not only be satisfied in a reward, but that the Lord would call himself your very great reward. And so, Abram has questions he wishes to be answered. Knowing what he has just heard, he has the confidence to ask God about his state of affairs, that he does not have a direct descendant to carry on his legacy. More to the point, the progeny that the Lord would leave, even after Abram is gone. God's promise is for his offspring, that from him would come many nations too numerous to number. And satisfied in these promises, Abraham now believes the Lord. And as a result, God counts Abram's faith. He counted Abram's faith in him as a means of righteousness, the right standing before a holy God. Abram is acquitted and justified before God. His sins are forgiven in his sight to be able to stand before God. Not because he had anything to do, anything to deserve it, but because of his faith to believe in the promises of God, and therefore Abram in our text. So Genesis 15 verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And so Abram relinquished his finite abilities and what he knew from the limited perspective of man to believe in the infinite, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-forgiving and faithful God in whom imputes righteousness by receiving of the faith he has in God. And now God delivers Abram from the corruptible, endless insecurities of this world to the absolution of the God whom delivers him by receiving his divine eternal promise by faith. Hebrews 6 verse 15 says, and thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. There's his faith. And so Abram's faith, like ours, rests upon a promise received directly from God, that we patiently wait in faith for the promise, for God to fulfill it, that we may receive it. God guarantees his promise, as he did with Abram, that we too as heirs would receive this promise also. But let me not just tell you, let me show you. So Romans chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We too, beloved, are counted righteous before God through the faith we have in the God in whom resurrected our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we, just like Abram, are justified and acquitted of our sins. Not only would God justify Abram by his faith, but those of the same faith would not only be sons of Abraham, but sons of God. And verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So then our faith rests in the promises of God. What God has promised, we can be assured that it will come to pass. And what has come to pass is the foreknowledge that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, which is written in his word. And where do we find this? We actually find this in our first observation. So, observation number one. God's word, the gospel, is received in faith. God's word is paramount to the faith we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel, which was preached to Abraham, was also delivered to us. For if the man of faith believed in the God of salvation through his word, then we also, who are of faith, are blessed along with Abraham. If we are convinced of the promises of God and by faith live according to what we have received, then how important is the gospel in your life right now? Is it a priority to share the gospel to others the same way in which you received it? But how can they know God? Or just as important, believe in God in whom they have never heard. As the Apostle Paul so beautifully puts it in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The feet that preach the good news are beautiful to the Lord, because it is the continuation of the same beauty of God's word that came to Abram in a vision. It is also the same gospel that was preached to us, to me, to you, when we received our salvation, beloved. Or is our faith in its infancy? We believe, therefore, we have only received and not yet delivered the gospel. Or maybe it's too personal or too difficult. But like Abram's faith in God, we must also grow in our faith. It is in this growth that we too may be fully convinced that God is able to do everything that he has promised. And when fully convinced, then we do not waver or allow concerns to trouble or disrupt our thoughts. As he says in Romans 4:19 to 22, he did not weaken in faith. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew in his faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And this is why his faith was counted as righteousness. He considered the barrenness of his wife. He also considered his own body and realized that we are dependent upon the promise of God. He did not weaken, but rather grew stronger in faith to bring him to be fully convinced in the promise, the unwavering promise to relinquish all fear, to realize that God is our salvation and our great reward. And this is where we come to our second observation. God's promise that strengthens us is received in faith. So our faith must not weaken either, like Abram, but rather grow in order that if we consider any adversity, we would not waver concerning the promise of God. Even if our bodies are also wasting away, we therefore continue to grow in our faith that we too would be fully convinced in the promises of God. And that's exactly what happened to Abram. He was prepared beforehand with the promises firmly implanted in him, that while Abram was in a deep sleep, the Lord forewarned Abram of the pending afflictions that Israel must face for 400 years. So Genesis 15 verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. and they will be afflicted for 400 years. They will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and yet the Lord will use them to bring judgment on this nation and then bless them. He won't leave them. He will not forsake them, but he will bless them with great possessions. So the next verse. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Therefore, no unbelief made Abram waver concerning the promise of God, especially concerning the will of God for Abram and his descendants. And that's what we do, beloved. While we are sojourners in this foreign land, we do not weaken in our faith, but grow in our faith through the promises that helped us before our afflictions. How often does it happen that the Lord, in order to educate his child for future trouble, makes the occasion when his justification is most clear to him, the season of informing him that he may expect to meet with trouble. And so even through Abram's faith, as a demonstration of his faith in God, God still desires to show us more convincingly the true nature of himself. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. There's our encouragement. And God desires to show that to us. And he desires to show that to us more convincingly, beloved. That is what Abraham believed in and was convinced of. And we as heirs of that promise. The unchangeable character that he purposely displays and reveals to us as himself, Yahweh. He is our guarantee. He cannot lie, nor would he ever. You and me, who have fled for refuge to God, has given us the encouragement to hold fast in our unwavering faith. That as we continue to grow in our faith, we continue to hold on to the promise of God, the God of our salvation, by looking to Christ. Because Christ Jesus is God incarnate. The one in whom the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The one whom was promised to Abraham and to his offspring. The offspring that would come to save the world, Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16 says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. And this is what brings us to our third observation. God's promise of his Son, Jesus Christ, is received in faith. Abram's foreknowledge from God promised him that he would have an offspring whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed. He recognized in this same promise, which was made to Eve at the gates of paradise, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. Abraham saw the day, says our Lord. He saw it and was glad. In this promise, Abram saw the one offspring. He saw Christ by the eyes of faith, and then he saw the multitude that would believe in him, the offspring of the Father of the faithful. The faith which justifies the soul concerns itself about Christ and not mere abstract truths. If your faith simply believes this and that, it does not save you. But when your faith believes that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them their trespasses, and rests in him with its entire confidence, then this faith justifies you, for this is the faith we have in Christ. And now that Christ has been revealed through his arrival, through his death, his resurrection, his ascension, Christ is now ruling in his session. The advent that was long awaited has already come. We now turn our gaze to look for his return. And why do we look for his return? So that the next promise of Christ's return, in which we receive in faith, is to be with him forever. For that's our citizenship in heaven. Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." And this is what brings us to our fourth observation. God's promise of an eternal home is received in faith. So God came and separated Abram from his kinsmen, like he has separated us from the world. Not that we would be lonely, but rather that we would receive a citizenship that is not of this earth, but of a kingdom, a great kingdom that belongs to God. For not only have we received an eternal citizenship, but we have received in faith an eternal home to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What greater place is there? That we groan waiting to put on our heavenly dwelling. For our home is made by no human hands, and it can never be destroyed. In this promise, we would also receive a new body to be just like Christ's glorious body, no longer the lowly body we have now. And this is what is in store for us as we look to the promise in faith of our long-awaited home that is prepared for you and I. That we would await this promise to obtain it like Abram did. He waited patiently to obtain it, to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the promise is to everyone who believes in faith, like the patriarchs who have gone before us and who have died in their faith. Hebrews 11, 13 to 16 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And so, the promises that God prepared for us, that we receive in faith, are for you and I, beloved. That Christ has come and will come again. And while we hold fast to the promises of the Word of God, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and are strengthened in our growing faith in our Lord, We look to Christ. We look to Christ because He is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, whom has come and will come again, that we as citizens will inherit a better country, a heavenly one that God has prepared for us. And so in conclusion, let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that all who see us may see and hear our increasing faith we have in the promise that come through our salvation in Jesus Christ. That we are not swayed by any opinion other than the Word of God, which is His will for our lives. To receive a great reward that will one day be welcomed home with those sweet and grateful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, what a great opportunity it is, Father, to see your not only creation, but through the redemptive eyes that came through Abram, that you joined us with Abram. You helped us to be a part of the great redemptive plan of all time, that we believe this in faith. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to activate upon it, because you are the founder and perfecter of our faith. You are the one who gives us this faith, so that, Father, we may grow. And as we grow, the things that were once our distractions, Lord, may they fall to the wayside, so that we may be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.